Good evening, everyone. Today, Deacon and I are wearing black because we are celebrating the commemoration of all the faithful departed, which we normally know as All Souls Day, that day that comes after we honor all the saints on All Saints Day. Today, we pray for all of the deceased, those who have gone before us, the holy souls in purgatory. And today we're going to talk about this belief we have as Catholics in purgatory, the state of purgatory, where souls go who die, who are not damned, but yet not yet ready to enter into the joys of heaven. So let's begin by looking at what purgatory is exactly. I'm going to give you a quote from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It spells it out. The Catechism says, "All who die in God's grace and friendship, but still imperfectly purified, are indeed assured of their eternal salvation. But after death, they undergo purification so as to achieve the holiness necessary to enter the joy of heaven. The Church gives the name purgatory to this final purification of the elect, which is entirely different from the punishment of the damned." So notice, it doesn't say that it's a place. I think a lot of people may have had ideas of purgatory down to the core of the earth where souls are purified. No, it is more of a state of purification in Jesus where the souls are purified before they enter into heaven. But we've got to ask ourselves, why do Catholics believe in purgatory? Even more, why do we believe that we can, and even more, we must pray for the dead? This is something that a lot of Catholics don't understand. They have a very, very difficult time explaining, particularly to those who reject the belief in purgatory. So today I'm going to give you five reasons we believe in purgatory and pray for the dead, hoping that you can remember them, or at least you can find the link online when I post it, and give it to others. If you can't remember what I said, to defend our belief in purgatory. The first reason is this. The first reason is because this belief in a state of purification after one dies and the need to pray for these souls was something that existed in the Jewish tradition. In the Old Testament, we find the book of Maccabees, which tells the tale of events that happened just a couple of centuries before Jesus came. In the second book of Maccabees, chapter 12, the leader named Judas stumbles upon some Jewish soldiers who had been killed. And he sees that they had little amulets, little things that they were wearing around their neck or they were holding that were of pagan origin. And he realized that they died with this pagan belief on their souls. And so this is what the scripture says. Yes, we believe it's inspired, but it also tells us of an historical fact. Turning to supplication, they, Judas and his followers, prayed that the sinful dead might be fully blotted out. The noble Judas warned the soldiers to keep themselves free from sin, for they had seen with their own eyes what had happened because of the sin of those who had fallen. He then took up a collection among all his soldiers, amounting to 2,000 silver drachmas, which he sent to Jerusalem to provide for an expiatory sacrifice. In doing so, he acted in a very excellent and noble way, inasmuch as he had the resurrection of the dead in view. So not only did he realize that they had sinned, but he had gathered a collection to have sacrifices offered so that they could be purified after they died. So a lot of the things that we do as Christians and Catholics, the early church adopted and sort of transferred from the Jewish faith. And so this praying for the dead is something the Jews believed at the time and we brought over into the Christian faith. Number two, we pray for the dead and we believe in purgatory because we can see hints of this belief in the New Testament. That's what we hear from a lot of Protestants. Well, why do you believe in purgatory? It's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible, so we shouldn't believe it. Well, if we know our logical fallacies, this is what we call begging the question. When you take your belief and you sort of insert it into the conclusion without proving it. So the question is, well, if it's not in the Bible, who says that we have to believe things that are explicitly contained in the Bible? Who says that everything we believe has to be explicitly contained in the Bible? That's not in the Bible. And there are a lot of other things. We as Catholics do not believe in the strict biblicism, that everything we believe has to be present in the Bible. It has nothing to do with the Catholic perspective, and it's nothing that was there in the early church. But yet we can see hints of purgatory in the New Testament. And several times it talks about the purifying fire, particularly in the writings of St. Paul. Jesus states in Matthew chapter 5, 25, I'm sure, "Make friends quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny." Paying the last penny, that means there's going to be a purification and you can eventually get out. Unlike if this might have been a reference to hell. And then finally, we hear about the wedding supper, and that we can be invited, but we may not be let in unless our garment is clean. Purgatory allows us to clean that garment so we are worthy of entering the wedding feast. The third reason that we believe in purgatory and praying for the dead is because we know, we have evidence that this is what the early church believed and practiced. It's a long-standing tradition. You're not going to find any evidence in the early church of a rejection of a state of purification or praying for the dead. The church fathers talked about this and the need for praying for the dead. Tertullian, who was one of the great African fathers, writing in the year 211, states, "We offer sacrifices for the dead on their birthday anniversaries, the date of death and their birth into eternal life." And so this praying for the dead, particularly on the anniversaries, we can see in the catacombs in Rome. The catacombs are the early burial places of the Christians. And so we know that there are altars set up there, and people would come to have Mass said and pray for the dead, particularly on the days of their anniversaries. One of my favorite pieces of evidence from the catacombs is in the catacomb of St. Priscilla. So we're talking about some art that I'm going to reference that dates back to the 3rd or 4th century. There's an image painted on the wall, a fresco, of the three men in the fiery furnace. A story from the Old Testament of these Jewish men who the Babylonian king threw into a furnace to kill, but yet the furnace didn't kill them, but actually purified them. Why would this image, this biblical reference, be in the catacombs? Because the early church saw it as a sort of foreshadowing or description of purgatory, the state of purification, not punishment, in Jesus Christ. Fourth, I think our belief in purgatory and praying for the dead flows logically from our understanding of justice. And so this is the analogy I always use when I try to help people understand purgatory. Imagine that you are a young kid and you are upset at your neighbor for whatever reason, and you take a rock or a baseball and you throw it through his window and you break the window. Your dad comes out and he's mad, the neighbor comes out and he's upset, and you're caught. And you begin to cry and weep because you are genuinely sorry. You apologize to your parents, you apologize to your neighbor. Really, really sorry, and they both forgive you. What happens after that? Well, okay, you're forgiven, so go back and play. Everything's okay. No, not at all. The window is still broken, and it has to be fixed. So you may have to do extra chores. You may be grounded for a period of time until the damage that was done is repaired. You're forgiven, but you still have to fix the broken window. In the same way when it comes to sin. When we sin, we break God's commandments. We break our relationship with Him or with others. And yes, we're sorry. We say, "Lord, please forgive me." And He does. But the fact of the matter is, the effects of our sin still maintain and exist in the world, and sometimes on our own persons. And so justice demands that these be removed. This is what we call in Catholic theology temporal punishment due to sin. So that helps us understand what it's about. And then praying for the dead, imagine that your brother or sister goes to your mom or dad and says, hey, listen, I want him to be able to come and play with me, but he's grounded. What if I help him do some chores? Will you let him out early? And the parents say yes. That's our ability to intercede for and pray for those who are in purgatory, to intercede on their behalf and to even share their burden. And then fifth and finally, the reason we believe in purgatory and praying for the dead, because it is something that is essentially human. I put on Facebook today a quote from Cardinal Ratzinger, who of course later became Pope Benedict XVI. And explains it perfectly, and so I'm going to give you the quote. People really liked it. My view is that if purgatory did not exist, we should have to invent it. Because few things are as immediate, as human, and as widespread at all times and in all cultures as prayer for one's own dear departed ones. Praying for one's departed loved ones is a far too immediate urge to be suppressed. It is a most beautiful manifestation of solidarity, love, and assistance, reaching beyond the barrier of death. The happiness or unhappiness of a person dear to me, who is now crossed to the other shore, depends in part on whether I remember or forget him. He does not stop needing my love. How beautiful that is. How human that is. And to reject purgatory or to reject praying for the dead and that connection we still have in Christ is something that is contrary to our human nature and inclinations. So those are the five reasons, and I encourage you to truly try to memorize them, to understand them, so you can better defend your faith and explain it, that we do believe in it, and there's a reason why. But more importantly, not just to understand about purgatory and praying for the dead, but to actually do it. Have masses said for the poor souls in purgatory, particularly those who are forgotten and have no one to pray for them. And during this month dedicated to the souls in purgatory, maybe you can take some time to visit a cemetery and pray there and remember the obligation we as Christians and Catholics to pray for the dead. Amen.